The Bristol Bay Coalition of Alaska Native Corporations and Tribal Governments, called Nunaamta Alukastai, were joined by former Alaska First Lady Bella Hammond, Alaska Constitutional Delegate Vic Fisher, and Bristol Bay residents Ricky Del Kitty Sr. and Violet Wilson in taking the state of Alaska to court, alleging that they were deprived of their rights regarding the issuance of temporary water and land use permits issued by the Alaska Department of Natural Resources to the developers of the proposed Pebble Mine. The case ended up before the members of the Alaska Supreme Court on December 17th. Nunaamta Alukastai and the others were represented by Trustees for Alaska, which is a nonprofit public interest law firm. Trustees attorney Nancy Wainwright claims the case revolves around the question of whether or not the Alaska Constitution requires public notice and a hard look at the cumulative impacts of the exploratory mining operation. Wainwright admits they lost their argument before the Superior Court, which resulted in this month's arguments to the Alaska Supreme Court.
The Superior Court erred because it focused on what it called temporary surface uses, such as drill rigs or removable buildings that could be physically removed without irreversible changes to the land. But the court ignored the permanent underground emplacement of thousands of feet of steel casings and cement, boreholes that were up to 7,000 feet deep, 1,200 of them, and buried wastes, hundreds of pits of buried wastes that cannot and will not be removed from state lands.
Supreme Court Justice Daniel Winfrey took the opportunity to ask a question about a hypothetical single borehole used for exploration.
One drill hole, 500 feet, leave the casing in, pour the grout, that's a disposal of state land.
I think it would depend, again, on the circumstances. If there were other uses that were occurring, if this was one hole in a very vast area, or a minimum number of holes in a very vast area that the state could potentially remove or reclaim later on if necessary, no, it wouldn't be a disposal. But here we're over the line. We have thousands of boreholes, and we have hundreds of pits that will never be removed. And so the magnitude and scale at advanced mineral exploration is triggering the need for public notice.
One of the interveners in the case is the Pebble Limited Partnership, which was represented by Matthew Singer with the law firm Germain, Dunnigan & Owens. He claims the state has not given away its interest in the land and that it can still be used for a number of purposes.
But there's no evidence or even argument that placing grout into these boreholes in any way precludes the state from using the land for any other conceivable purpose. How else could this tundra be used? The evidence is that it's occasionally used for subsistence purposes. Well, the presence of underground grout doesn't interfere with subsistence. There might be camping. There could be sightseeing, snow machining, or all-terrain vehicle driving. This is a remote area. It's far from any population center. There's nothing in the record to suggest that the standard common practice of grouting a hole after drilling constitutes a revocation of the state's ability to use the land for any other purpose.
The Alaska Department of Natural Resources was represented at the Supreme Court oral arguments by Assistant Attorney General Laura Fox. She addressed the argument that the state should conduct some kind of analysis of the impacts of giving water and land use permits.
Nunaamta is essentially asking the court to add a new procedural requirement to Article 8 because Nunaamta believes that new requirement is necessary to protect the land. But it's not the court's role to add new terms to Article 8. And also, in any event, all the evidence at trial showed that the state's current land use management system is protecting the land and that Pebble's activities haven't caused any harm to the land.
One of the arguments made by the attorney for Nunaamta Alukastai was that the activity in and around the Pebble deposit area should warrant DNR looking at and considering the long-term impacts of that activity. Matthew Singer with the Pebble Limited Partnership claims that's in essence what DNR does.
So there are permit terms, there are inspections, and there are reporting. That's a hard look. That's consideration of salient factors. Nunaamta says that's not enough. There should be a different procedure. There should be a cumulative impact study like is required under NEPA. But it's not for this court to decide how the legislature and the executive branch are to implement the Constitution. It's for this court to determine whether the agency is making reasoned decisions and looking at salient factors. And what the evidence at trial showed is that the judge examined that question and decided for himself that DNR's approach has been protective of the environment and protective of concurrent users.
Nancy Wainwright with Trustees for Alaska suggested that DNR had no way to know or to understand the cumulative impacts of the exploratory work and thus didn't take that into consideration.
There was no hard look if the state didn't know where the boreholes were. There was no hard look if the state didn't know that Pebble had violated the water use permits for all 3 years that they were issued before NUNAMTA filed the lawsuit and said, hey, what's going on with the water? It looks like they're taking water from unpermitted uses. So this hard look that allegedly was taken was in fact not taken. And the hard look that the court took was after the fact.
At the end of her oral arguments, Wainwright asked the court to reverse the Superior Court ruling and void the Pebble Limited Partnership's land and water permits. At the conclusion of the oral arguments, the Alaska Supreme Court noted that the matter will be taken under advisement, and they confirmed that a written decision will be issued at a later date. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.